Fear. What is fear? Where is Dylan? He's nowhere to be found. On the next episode, the boys talk about fear and what makes them shake and shiver into the night. Also, there are two segments. A first new segment called Yay or Nay, and then the infamous Carlo tries to answer everything. It's also called Carlo's Answer to Everything, so stay tuned or else fear.
Beauty ass, we're back. To my right, I have
Carla.
And to my left, I have
Zach.
And I'm host Dylan, but today we are talking about.
You look a little white,
don't I? We're talking about fear. It's almost Halloween. Not dating the podcast. We're talking about fears today on BODS, and
that's a second level at Groundlings that you just heard right there.
Second.
I was actually watching one.
That actually is pretty high.
See that improv there? That was amazing.
Improv.
Wow, I felt it.
He did, yeah, to the core. I had something happen today. I had an MRI. And for all you people that don't know what an MRI is, it's basically, they put you in a machine. And it shows bones, muscles, tendons, ligaments, everything, what's going on, nerves, everything, what's going on with your body. You get into a gown that's completely uncomfortable.
So you're afraid of gowns?
Afraid of gowns. I mean, not Cinderella gown, but this
of
kind of gown.
Vulnerability. And,
vulnerability.
Showing, you know.
They put you on a table. They leave flat out. They give you earplugs that you can't hear anything. They put this mask on you, this bar going across, and then they're like, okay, this is going to be 25 minutes, and they hit the button. And then you just slowly slide into this fucking sarcophagus.
Yeah.
And I realize I am fucking claustrophobic.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the most claustrophobic feelings you can get.
And you can't fucking move.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're claustrophobic?
Do you know how close this thing?
Yeah, no, I've been in an MRI before.
Yeah, you have been in an MRI. I mean, this thing is 25 minutes.
Right.
If you move one inch, it fucks the whole MRI.
Right.
It fucks everything.
Can't
you have to start over.
Can't move.
So there's a time I was like, 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer, and I was like, 5 minutes, and the sounds, do you know the sounds?
Yeah.
It sounds like a horrible rave concert at Candlestick Park that I went to. It's like shitty Daft Punk, which I love, but a lot of new shit shitty. Other horrible, it's like, it's terrible.
Wait, I'm sorry, it was DJ AM?
Yeah, it was DJ AM, God rest his soul.
He is dead.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
it was the worst sounds, and he's like,
it was a weird ghost MRI.
And I didn't open my eyes, and I looked up, and the guy, and after each segment's like 3 minutes, so there's like seven 3 minute segments of this shit, just horrible noises. It's almost like torture. And I was like, I had to curb myself. To like be like, you can do this. Don't fuck this up. Don't.
Well, the air gets like tighter because you're in this little fucking.
It's a fucking. Your elbows like are hitting the sides like as you're going in. You're
so
like, wow.
Like
I thought it was bigger. I thought it was bigger. I mean, athletes do MRIs all the time, you know, for injuries and shit. But I'm telling you, man, this thing was like a fucking like tube. Like you
right.
just could fit in.
That's exactly what an MRI.
But then I walk by, after I'm done, I get out, I take my earplugs out, and I'm like, well, that was an experience, and I play it off, and I go back into my little, like, locker, and I'm just like, I sit down, I'm like,
really?
I tried to be, like, for, like, the fucking, like, you know, text and shit, I tried to be strong, but I sat down, I was like, oh my god, that was really hard for me.
It's awkward.
Fear.
It's jarring. Okay, that's a fear. Now, when I was, like, maybe 7 or 8 years old, I fell out of a tree and kind of cracked my head open.
That explains it all.
How did I know you were going to say that?
I don't know, real quick. So, did they find out what was wrong with your pussy when you went into the MRI?
Yeah, it was dripping. It was too wet. Blood was dripping out of it.
You got fucked a little too hard.
Too hard.
Now, when I was like 7 years old, I did one of those, but it was when I was like, I had a head injury. I could probably not even see straight. I was delusional at the time. And they gave me an MRI, and I remember, like, being pretty much afraid for my life because I had this in my imagination that as soon as they pulled me out of that tube, a guillotine was going to drop down and cut my head off.
Rational, completely rational, completely...
7-year-old with a head injury, Yeah.
You thought... Okay, so you went into the tube.
Yeah.
And you didn't see any kind of guillotine contraption. No. You thought they were going to bring in one.
I did, yeah.
Just to cut you off, what, when your head went under it or your feet?
You ever have a head injury?
Yeah.
You ever be 7 years old?
Yeah. I was actually 5 when I had my first head injury.
Well, did they give you an MRI?
No, they just stitched me up.
Okay, well, yeah. I don't know if it was age plus the injury, but I don't know. I thought like that something was going to come down and chop me in half as soon as they pulled me out of this tube.
So your fear is the irrational fear of random guillotines.
I wouldn't say any more.
At one point, you had an irrational guillotine fear?
My imagination as a 7-year-old child was pretty wild. I will say
did
that.
Did you see, did your uncle get, a guillotine accident? How is that even a fear?
I saw cops. I know how this is going to go. This doesn't happen on cops.
No, that doesn't count. It's the fucking French Revolutionary cops.
I was watching a lot of cartoons. I have no idea where that idea came from. But it was 7 years old. Now, my fears have matured since then.
Now it's irrational, electric chair.
Well, let's actually get into this. Tell me, Carlo, what is your fear?
What is your fear, Carlo?
You know what? The thing I'm most afraid of is that I'm not afraid of anything.
That's bullshit. he actually might be the only person that is not afraid of anything.
Dr. Freud would say, that means he is afraid of fear itself.
Yeah, no, fear kind of frightens me because to be a fucking pussy that's afraid of random guillotines or MRIs.
As a 7-year-old, you're going to pick on a 7-year-old?
I'm not necessarily afraid of...
I think you know the answer to that question.
I'm not necessarily afraid of MRIs. I'm afraid of tight places.
Have you never been in a tight spot before?
No. Why would I be?
Oh.
I've been in my ex-girlfriend. I've been in my... That's why I'm in love with this guy. Because, guy, we're just going right there.
That's good.
I'm afraid of us not hitting that joke. Thank God I don't have to fear that because we do it every time.
I've honestly thought about this, and I'm not afraid of heights. I'm not afraid of animals. I'm not afraid of insects. I'm not afraid of races of people. I'm not afraid of, random guillotines or, tight spaces. I don't know what I'm afraid of.
I mean, nothing gets your heart elevated besides anal sex with a man.
No, I mean,
just gets me going.
Well, let's go into one part of my body. And that's my enlarged sphincter.
Well, let me pose it to you like this. Say, for example, not afraid of heights.
Right.
I think,
because I think it's irrational.
No, it is irrational.
He's the most rational person I've ever met in my entire life.
I was actually talking with you about this the other day, Dylan. If people stand at the edge of a cliff, right, and they look over, and they're and they do that thing where just the chin goes over. But if you were on a fucking curb, and you were standing on the edge of the curb, you could squat down on it and look over, and you'd be completely fine.
Exactly.
You're standing on the same amount of space as you are on the curb, as you are on the cliff, but it's just you're higher.
But if you fall, you're not going to die.
But why would you fall? Well, you didn't fall when you were on the curb.
So it's more fear of death, not fear of heights.
Well, it's depth perception. You're looking at a farther distance, so your mind tells itself this fight or flight kind of thing.
Yeah,
if you can walk on a railroad tie, you can walk on that, if it's 100 feet in the air. I don't get what's the difference.
So you want
to
be a tightrope.
Right, but okay, so let me pose this to you. So, you trust your body. I've been in situations with you. We go climbing rocks, and we jump off the highest rock that's there because it's dude, you trust your body. Your body knows what to do to get itself into safety and get itself out of danger.
Right.
So you would have no problem rushing big rapids or jumping off a huge rock.
No. Running with the bulls.
Running with the bulls. Absolutely. It's a test of manhood. I totally agree with you.
It's not even a test of manhood. It's just
it's a test of your own fear.
No, it's not even fear. It's more of if I'm going to be alive, then I want to experience as many things as possible.
And you want to be as close to that. And the things that bring out those sensations is those somewhat what most people would be considered dangerous situations.
I was, it's weird that you brought up the subject.
That's true.
Because I think the only thing that I'm afraid of is not, some people want to say that they want to die in their sleep or, something like that. I want to fucking feel it. I want to feel my body giving up. I want to know that it's happening.
See that? That was the liver.
So you're afraid of dying peacefully?
I'm afraid of not... I'm afraid of sleeping through my death.
Wow. That is... So that's not...
No,
afraid.
I
want to
be
that's...
with you when you're dying. So I'll be like, Carla, wake up! You're dying! Fuck you!
Do you want me to torture and kill you? Because
no,
I can.
I mean, think about it, like, well, I don't have any spiritual belief in an afterlife of any kind. So, you know, I think that this is it. So if I'm going to go out, I want to fucking feel it.
Sure. So I mean, that's why, like...
it's not really... If I had to say something, then that would maybe be it. But it's not. I'm not even really afraid of that, because I know I'm going to die.
Well, I mean, what it sounds like is you're afraid of not fully living.
No. I'm not.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true, though.
A little bit.
I don't think so. I'm not afraid of that, though.
Because you feel like you are actually living it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's why... You're not afraid of running with the bulls or fucking, like, heights or...
I'm not afraid
of
pain. I'm not afraid of...
Right.
Like...
And on...
Is that weird?
No, it's not weird. Well, I mean, to me, it's not. Because on most levels, I can definitely agree with you. I think, I don't know, it has a lot to do with upbringing and really just testing yourself, I think. If you're kind of raised at a point where there's other guys around you, and they're like out of fear of being called a pussy, you don't want to be the pussy in that situation. You really test yourself.
You jump
the highest rocks. You'll do the dangerous thing. You'll learn to trust your body.
I don't think I do it out of peer pressure, though. I just do it because I want to do it. It may have started
as that for me as a teenager, but like it developed into like, yes, I want to do the fucking nuts thing, you know, like, because that's just how I was raised. You were raised to kind of trust that your body knew what to do.
But you're not nuts. You're pretty fucking civil.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's the coolest.
You can get nuts.
He's the coolest head in the room.
You can? Yeah, you're just the coolest head in the room. You can get nuts if you want to. It has to go there.
Oh, no, I don't go to Carlos extremes of...
He's nuts all the time. That's my point.
Well, yeah, like,
a deer
nuts.
Of
dumping buckets of water on innocent bystanders or nothing, but like, if
it was
hard rock ice.
Fine.
They were like fucking...
That's another story.
It was like shrapnel from a grenade.
But in the sense of like, dude, like, you put me in a daring situation, I'll be the one in the front of the line, like, yeah, let's do it.
So
like,
you're the guy when the door drops in Saving Private Ryan that gets shot like right in the head.
Thank you.
They gotta reload that.
Can I get in front of you? Can I get in front of you there?
No problem.
Back up.
I'm, I guess, more the brains.
Yeah, but like,
guy.
Dude, if the door opened to an airplane and I had a parachute on, fuck you. Oh,
I've parachuted. I've done it. I skydived. But it's like, I was kind of afraid of it.
But the only, I mean, I don't know, like, as far as fear goes, the only things that actually scare me are things where my personal control and my personal power gets taken away. For example, prison.
Yeah.
Prison scares the living fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
You both have been in prison. I have not. So
I've been in jail.
Okay, yeah, he's been in jail.
When I was like 17 years old, I got sent to DH, which is Hawaii's version of juvie.
Yeah,
it was detention hall, and just for 1 week. And like my freedom being taken away like that scared me straight, man. Like I stopped fucking around. I stopped robbing. I used to burglarize people's houses. I used to fucking get in fights. I would always carry a knife on me.
Should I make sure my wallet's still in my house?
I don't see it. Yeah. I was a kid, but like, dude, the thing that scares me the most is having my freedom taken away.
So it's the random
guillotine
and prison.
As a 7-year-old, it was a random guillotine.
That's a noble fear.
As a 29-year-old, it's fucking bars, man. It's cages.
That's a noble fear, though.
That's
your freedom taken away.
That scares me the most.
We take that for granted too.
I guess that's a fear, but you wouldn't really, if you just don't fuck around, then that's never going to happen.
Yeah, but I have this irrational fear, like sometimes, like
a guillotine fear.
No, but like, for example, I could have a dream where I'm being chased by like a 50-foot tarantula, and I would just be kind of laughing at it, like, oh, look at that big-ass spider, you know?
Yeah.
But like, what actually is a nightmare to me, like where I'll wake up in cold sweats, is if like fucking I hear the bars closing behind me.
And
like,
there's a 50-foot
tarantula.
As a cellmate?
No!
Oh,
I
don't
fit in here! There's no room! I can't be in here with a 50-foot tarantula.
You got top bunk? Oh,
come on!
Man,
you're so hairy.
Oh, it's touching me.
Like an Armenian girl.
Well, that gets into another thing. I mean, aside from prison, I do have is a phobia a fear?
That's a fear.
That
can
is,
be, we can include
yeah,
that. Yeah,
arachnophobia is the fear.
Animals. Carl, there's, yeah. What is that?
I have a phobia of anything with more than four legs.
Okay.
I don't like bugs crawling on me. I don't like spiders. at all.
But you just laughed in the face with a 50-foot tarantula.
Yeah, but like it's a dream, and I'm able to stay relatively like I guess.
I don't like snakes. I do not. I'm like Indiana Jones.
Indiana
and Indiana Jones is the toughest guy of them all, is he not? And he hates snakes.
Why did it have to be snakes?
Yes,
yeah. snakes and rats. I thought, right?
Yeah.
No, rats were his dad.
Yeah,
rats were his dad.
Yeah, Sean Connery.
Right.
There has to be some kind of animal, like varmint, like insect that you.
Why? They're small.
You'll just pick up a spider and let it crawl on you.
No, I'd fucking flick it off.
No, but like, would you
like
have
a,
no problem? With
I've
it?
Picked up tarantulas before.
And let them? Would you like have
yeah,
no problem?
I did that in like fifth grade.
Yeah, disgusting.
You know what's funny, interesting about you, Carl, is that the fact that you're not afraid of anything. There's got to be one thing that you're more afraid of than all of our fears combined. Because a person like you who's not afraid of anything, there's this one thing that it freaks you out tenfold. And what is that?
I'm not...
Do I have to call one, Javier?
You can call my brother, but he doesn't know what the fuck
he knows, yeah. I will call one.
I know what he's afraid of. His wife.
Yeah, I can tell.
It's the fact that he has two daughters and they're going to be teenagers one day.
Hello.
Freak the shit out.
Hello.
But, no, I don't have...
That's where Unky Dylan's going to come around.
I've never had an irrational fear... Like, maybe when I was, like, I don't even think when I was a kid I was afraid of, like, the dark or, like, shit under my bed. Like,
I really wasn't afraid. I guess I wasn't afraid of the boogeyman either.
You're not afraid of, okay, prison.
Prison, I'm not really afraid of it because I'm not, I mean, I was in jail, right?
For how long?
I was in jail for, like, a weekend.
Were you, 72 hours?
I'm sorry, you were in a juvie in Hawaii. I was in Men's Central Jail in downtown Los Angeles with fucking murderers.
You had a bunch of adults who are trying to keep to themselves because they know this is only a weekend thing as compared to DH.
The first thing,
there was a guy that had a fucking army. And they came after me, man.
The guy had an army?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cyrus the virus.
I was pepper sprayed. I was beaten by a fucking sheriff. And when I first got to the jail, I saw three fucking fights happen where people were smashing people's heads into the fucking.
Okay, and that didn't scare you.
Fucking Men's Central Jail.
That didn't scare you when you were being.
I'm sorry. No fucking juvenile hall in existence is as hard as Men's Central Jail in downtown Los Angeles. You're
really?
Full of shit.
No. I am thinking that you just got locked up in like the holding cell stuff.
He had a flat screen in there and everything. Yeah,
fucking no.
Yeah.
When you were being booked, because that's a very there's reality shows on shows like that. When
at
you were
any
being
point
booked,
were you watching Montel?
Yeah. Was
what?
Was Montel playing on the inner jail cell television?
There was no TV.
Hold on, being booked is a sobering experience. They documented on TV, so you weren't scared about this. You're like, holy fuck!
Well, no,
you weren't sobered up.
It wasn't a thing of where they pulled me over and then I went and then they put me immediately in jail. Like it was, I went to the court and I said I can't pay the fine, and then they said, okay, well, you know, you can either pay the fine in installments, which is like $4,000 or something, which I didn't have at the time. Or you can go to jail for a week. And I was like, my lawyer is like, well, they can't really put you in for a week for what you did because you're just not paying a fine. You know, you're doing fine.
Yeah.
If you go in on a Friday, they'll let you out by
Sunday.
Like, because, you know, they have more people in there. They have murderers and drug dealers and fucking gangs in there.
And they don't want to take your space.
Hey, they don't need a guy who just had, like, fucking moving violations. You didn't pay him.
So you will get thrown in with those people.
Exactly. I was
so
in
it's
there.
Anything goes in there. Everybody's mixed in together.
Fucking shit. It was fucking fucked up. I wasn't scared, though. Because
you weren't scared at all.
I knew I was getting out. And I knew if I just kept to myself, then I would be fine.
It is something that you can control. But say for example,
the worst that was going to happen is what? Like I knew
you get
like
in a fight,
processing is going to take like almost a day, and by that time, like they're not even going to put me in Gen Pop because it's going to take too long to process.
Ooh, you're throwing
jail
lingo.
Right,
I like that jail lingo. Gen Pop.
I don't even know
good.
What the fuck that means. Apparently,
General Pop, you fucking leech.
Oh wow. Oh,
I haven't even been to jail.
I still had to go through medical and like all this kind of shit. So like I had the rundown of what happened. Like a good friend of mine. You know him. I think you know him too, Danny Death.
Yeah.
Like Danny Death Metal was telling me all about what happened to jail. So I was like, I knew what happened. So I was like informed. He's like,
it's good.
Like, really, they're not going to fuck with you because you're not in the gang. And you
you're
know,
just doing your time.
And if they fight, if somebody fights you, then they get extra time on their shit too.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And you get it as well. So they're not going to fuck with you unless they really, like, you did something egregious towards them. And I wasn't going to say shit.
And they are aware of that. But
yeah,
exactly. Like, okay. So, I mean, I'm not trying to create, like, some kind of social experiment here, but, like, I'm not... That wasn't necessarily what I meant. I wasn't talking about the people in jail.
Yeah.
I was talking about your freedom taken away from you.
Oh, because I knew it was coming back.
No, but is that not something that you would fear?
I didn't fear it because I knew that I was going to get it back.
Okay.
Like it's kind of like being at a job and they say, okay, you have to take your lunch at this time and you have to come here at this time and you get to leave at this time. And while you're here, you have to follow these rules. And if you don't follow these rules, then you're going to get penalized.
Well, but say, for example, you get framed for murder and you have to stay in jail for the next 25 to life.
First of all, I didn't know that I was fucking Dr. Richard Kimball.
It was the man with the one arm.
I got to tell you, yes, because I watched this women on death row who were falsely accused. One woman spent 10 years on death row until she got a retrial. And you have to have money, you have to have lawyers, people who actually want to fight for you.
So, if I got in a situation, well, I guess this is on record, but if I got in a situation like that where somebody I got falsely accused of doing something, I would get out on bail and I would fucking disappear.
But wouldn't you prove your innocence?
Why?
Because you're falsely fucking accused. Why would you make it seem... If you disappeared, that looks like you're guilty.
If somebody went through the effort to fucking frame me for murder, I got a lot of problems. I'm sorry.
We're trying to diagnose fears.
That's fucking true.
Come on, man.
We're at that stage.
Yeah.
Might as well just disappear.
Am I in a soap opera-like stage where I'm fucking... Somebody is... framing me for murder, I think I got a lot more problems on my fucking back.
Sure enough. Now, all we're trying to do is frame each other's fears, for example.
You're trying to frame me for murder. That's what you're trying to fucking do, alright? I told you I don't have a fucking fear of jail.
What I'm trying to do is create a situation to where you could actually put your mind in the thought of having your freedom taken from you. Like, do I need to have you close your eyes and lead you
meditation here? I get what you're saying, but your fear, like, his fear of claustrophobia is if he's ever in a claustrophobia, like, it's like something that...
All right, it's a phobia.
It's like a
physical thing. I have a phobia of fucking cephalopods.
Yeah, would I be afraid when... If I was in a plane that was going to crash into a building, I'd probably have a bit of fear going on in my fucking
head. There we go.
But it's not... I don't have a fear of flying. You're talking about a like very specific situation. Like, we're talking about general fears.
Right.
Like
the fear of
a four-star general.
The fear of something. Like, okay, like, I have no problem admitting, like, I have a fear of anything with more... Like, arachnids, bugs, anything with more than four legs. That's my personal
phobia.
Like,
if you see it, you'll
pretty common.
Like yell like a little girl.
I will probably call my girlfriend into the room and have her deal with it.
Is it still there?
If a girl's there, I have to fight that fear and kill the spider in front of her. Because if you let the girl kill it, then you lose.
Oh, then
no!
I never said I had a fear of spiders.
I'll get a hammer and kill that thing. But like, if it comes down to the only thing I can do when it comes to a spider is kill it. I can't save that thing.
But
if it comes down to me and a spider, and like someone wants to like, oh no, don't kill it. Don't put me in the room with
that's,
it because
that's
all I can do. All I can do is kill them.
You got to kill with dignity. You can't be like,
I know. I'll just throw a towel to
you have to go up there
and
be like,
just throw shoes.
Pick it up and just be like, pick it up and be like,
So you're saying
throw Dylan, shoes, just your girlfriend's
so,
shoes.
More shoes!
Yeah. More 4-inch heels.
So Dylan has to swat an MRI with a loafer.
Yeah. The machine is so stagnant. It doesn't even move.
I'm honestly, like, I'm not, no bullshit. Like, that's the only thing I can think of that kind of makes me afraid, but not really afraid.
How do you want to die? You don't want to die peacefully, so how would you like to die?
I've actually talked about this with our good friend John.
This is another great topic.
I've talked about this with John Neistat. If I had a terminal disease, right?
You get married,
and I would get married first because you know tax reasons. But secondly, if like the doctor said, "Hey, you got a month to live," and that's it, you know, I would say bye to everybody that I could, which is actually the benefit of knowing when you're going to die. You can say goodbye.
You wouldn't just be like you're at a party and Batman out of there?
Oh, no, I wouldn't. No. I would Batman out of my own, like, living wake. I would. It would be fucking
Batman
hilarious.
Out of your own life.
Yeah.
Soft shoe out of his
But
where'd Carlo go? He died?
I would actually like to, like, I would like to die in a spectacular way. Like, I want to die in a way that, like, oh, Carlo, how did he die? I don't want to have to say, like, pancreatic cancer. We have to say, like, oh, he fucking fought a lion with a Bowie knife and lost.
I get that.
You see what I'm saying?
Or
so
if
I would,
you
like,
get...
I would go to Africa, and I would go on a safari, and I
if
would
if you got,
jump,
like, terminal cancer...
Yeah, I would jump out of the fucking Range Rover and just fucking full-on charge the lion and try to dropkick it, and I'd have a Bowie knife taped to my hand, and I'd see if I could take out the lion, or he's probably going to kill me, but I'm going to get some fucking scraps in on him.
Fucking Hemingway status, dude.
Exactly.
I
like,
get
go
that.
Out, like, fucking fight.
I totally get that.
Because what, it's going to hurt, like, yeah, I'm going to get my fucking, you know, neck chomped on, whatever, but, like, whatever, I'm going to die anyways. Like, isn't that a better way to just, like, how did, oh, he had pancreatic cancer. Carly had pancreatic cancer.
What if there's
so
that one
now? Yeah, but he died by fucking taking an eye out of
what
the
if there's
oh, no, it wasn't the cancer that killed him.
Yeah.
It was the lion.
It was the lion.
What?
What killed the beast?
Can you imagine me telling that story? Like, oh, it wasn't the cancer. It was the lion. What are you doing? Cancer.
Wait, wait, what?
Cancer
what?
Is much an afterthought
better.
At that point.
That's so much better. Like, or like, I don't know, fucking...
Would you want to help people? Like
no,
no. You, well, yeah. Why? Why? I was gonna be like, will you save a burning kids from a burning building? No,
yeah,
no, no,
I guess
not.
So. But then, like, but the cool thing about saving a kid from a burning building is like you get to be like a hero for like the rest of your life. But my rest of my life is only like 2 weeks. So,
yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
No, I'm totally behind the lion idea. I think you should totally do that. But speaking of which, this may be a little segue. Actually, Ryan and I are.
Oh,
talking...
I would actually. You know what?
Well, hold on, hold
on,
hold on.
Top of that, on top
okay,
of
well,
that,
hold that.
I would also like rob a bank.
As you should. That would be helping people.
Back in jail.
What's that? Oh, no, I wouldn't. Yeah,
oh, you just bury me with it.
Yeah, no, I'd need to get the plane ticket to fucking Johannesburg. Like,
right.
I mean, it costs
right.
money.
Rob a bank and then just, like, kill a lion with
I would,
fists
oh
full
my
of
God.
Money.
I would
just
find...
suffocate a lion with bank money.
I would find the most attractive woman with AIDS and just raw dog her. That would be amazing. Like, if I had, like, 2 weeks left, why the fuck not?
Dude, did you know how many diseases you could actually get inside of 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Carlo found out.
Carlo
you
found
get
out.
AIDS, gonorrhea, hepatitis A, B, C.
Yeah. I gave the lion AIDS. Yeah. I want to give a lion AIDS.
He fucked a lion.
And how cool would that be if I won? Like, if I, like, my arms, like, ripped off.
You would still die in 2 weeks.
No, but, like, your cell phone's ringing and you're, like, fucking a lion or something. And it's like, Carlo, ooh, actually... Made a little mistake. You don't have cancer.
Yeah. We mixed up your blood with this other fucking set.
But
you
apparently you have AIDS and hep ABC.
And you have a weird strain of lion AIDS.
Yeah.
That's weird. Well, you know, the hardest
potatoes.
Part about well, if that did happen, the hardest part would be, like, letting the lion down easy, letting them know that you really want to be in a relationship, you know?
Right. As it's bleeding from the throat.
Yeah.
But no, real quick, a little testament of manhood, Ryan and I are actually considering getting plane tickets to Pamplona next year.
I was talking with Dylan about that.
Were you?
Well, I think that Running the Bulls is actually on my birthday.
Is it?
July 1st. It just happened. It's always, I think it always is July
1st.
Like,
fucking dead serious,
yeah.
We're going to do this.
I don't think I want to do it. I will go to
this. Is that a fear? Is that a fear?
That's a fear, yeah.
What's the fear of? Bulls or death? Cobblestones.
Slippery cobble. Because they you know what they do?
In Spanish.
They wet down the street.
Yeah, I know.
They wet the street down.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
So
right.
Bulls are slipping, that means you're slipping as well.
True.
And I would not like to get seriously injured in Spain, even though it is free healthcare.
Yeah.
But I would like to enjoy the trip. So maybe I will just be in the stadium and waiting and see one or two of my friends get fucking killed.
I don't accept that, Dylan.
No,
we already talked
about this. If you
I've been to Spain.
If you want to join the trip, then we'll go for like a week or two before the Running of the Bulls and have that be the last thing we do.
Yeah, and then go home to safety. I get that. That's fine.
Actually,
but you're
like,
going to do
a
this.
A street away from where they run with the Bulls is safety, technically. We don't
sure.
have to...
Well,
my
tactic to running with the Bulls would be, as soon as they yell go, I'm not going to be one of those guys that's kind of looking behind me, waiting for the Bulls to come up so I can kind of like, ooh, yeah, ooh,
you
touch
slap
the Bulls
on his
running.
Ass, right?
No, as soon as they yell
he's
go,
ride
I am sprinting my ass off until I get into the stadium.
And hop the wall.
No, I'm not going to hop the wall. I'm going to sprint into the stadium so I don't get trampled in the streets on the cobblestone.
You're not going to make it. You're going to slip in the streets. I know it.
No,
look at those leggy legs. They don't have a chance on those cobblestone streets.
I'll get some ice walking shoes. It'll be fine. So
he's going to run in like fucking boots.
No,
like,
we'll be fine. So as soon as we get into the stadium, that's when I'm going to go right behind the little, what do you call, the rodeo clown guy that's like getting
there's
their
no
attention.
There's no rodeo clown guy. No.
No, there is. Isn't
no,
there?
There's not rodeo clown.
No.
Not a rodeo clown, but there's a guy that's actually like there to get the Bulls' attention, like
no.
that works at the stadium.
No, dude.
Is there not?
No.
No.
Ryan lied to me, Ryan.
It's
lying.
It's Europe, bro.
Well,
it's
regardless.
Spain, bro.
I am not going to walk away from this, from the running of the Bulls without grabbing that rose off the bull's head.
Can you imagine if this happened in this country? It would be shut down. If people, anybody died from it, people die from it. And it's been going on for fucking years.
It's a test of manhood.
Europe. Like, I mean, that's where it's like, you die, it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's a good way to die.
Next
way
year. Die. Next year.
I'd rather die that
still
way
doing
than,
it next
than,
year, though.
Then be surprised by kidney failure. Apparently that's Carlos' phobia.
Pancreatic cancer.
That's right. Your phobia?
No, it's not.
Is that your
that's
cancer?
That's what I said.
Like, he gets up to the pearly gates like, wait a minute, I died? What the fuck? Pancreatic cancer? You never told me that.
No, it wasn't pancreatic cancer, son. You actually walked into a Starbucks and got hit with the random guillotine.
All right, we're coming right back with a new segment called Yay or Nay. Stay tuned. But yes, we are back. We're going to try a new segment out called Yay or Nay. It's
Yay or Nay!
Yay or Nay! It's where I'm going to give a topic, and Carl and Zachary are going to be yay for it or nay for it, and whether regardless of their personal beliefs. So, Zach, you're going to be yay on this topic. Carl, you're going to be nay.
Okay.
The first topic is rape. Zach?
Well, this is an easy one on my end.
Each person has 2 minutes on the clock. Okay. Starting now, Zach, you're yay for rape. Go.
This is going to get dark. Well, okay, we've all been out at a bar. We've all seen pretty much people pair up. Like, say, for example, you're having a bad night. You're striking out with the ladies, and you want to get laid. You see some pretty girl there that's actually just getting into her car. She's actually, you know, a little bit... Actually, I'm not really posing my argument here. Like, okay, this is new. Spitballing. Still got my 2 minutes.
It sounds like a story.
Yay rape. Yay rape.
Yay rape. Okay. Man, sometimes you just don't want to put the effort in. I'm sure you can understand. You don't want to... This is... Okay. You don't want to put the effort in. You don't want to pay for her drinks. You just want to... Man, pay for one maybe. Slip a little roofie in there, and then
right,
you know what's
going
to happen next? You're up into some poontang. You know how good that feels, guys?
Rape-tastic.
It feels awesome. Sometimes I don't want to have to actually talk a girl into having sex with me. You know what? I'd just rather force her into having sex with me. You know why? Because I'm stronger than
her. I've never
her.
Seen you talk a girl into having sex with me.
Wow, this is weird. But you know what? My point on yay would have to be that... This is a weird one. Okay, you.
No, just go for personal experience.
You're yay. Yeah, personal
right, right.
experience.
I'm for it.
That's
like,
why
look,
you're yay.
You know what? It's quick. It's fast. She's probably not going to say anything about it because she's going to be too embarrassed.
You'd
right?
probably kill her if she did, right?
Right. And you'd probably kill her if she did. And sex is awesome. And
15 seconds.
Yay.
15 seconds.
Finish close
strong.
It quickly strong.
Finish strong. Like in rape.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I suck at this. All right. Yes, rape is awesome because you don't have to work for it, and you're stronger than they are.
Carl, you sweetheart, nay. Why are you nay against rape?
Because it's rape.
Anybody else?
Oh, my God.
Next topic.
Next topic. Okay, next topic is... True words have never been spoken. Next topic is, well, first, Carl, you're going to be yay for this topic, and Zach, you're going to be nay down. The next topic is sexual asphyxiation.
Sexual asphyxiation. Okay, well, you want to start on this one?
No, nope. Yay always starts. Yay starts.
Yay starts on this. Okay, well, I mean, I don't know. I'm a 30-year-old man, and I've been masturbating for about 15 years now, and, you know, just something's missing. I mean, like, there's only so many things you can do with your right hand that you haven't done before. I mean, you could slip a your left pinky up your asshole while you're doing it. You know, you could do it in public. You know, but that gets dicey because you go to jail and you'd be with a whole bunch of rapists. But sexual asphyxiation is something it's a lot like skydiving, because skydiving, the whole thrill of skydiving is the fact that you might die. You're jumping out of something, and the only thing that's gonna save you is this parachute. Now, sexual asphyxiation is a lot like the same thing, because the only thing that's going to save you is you coming, so then you can unloosen the belt that's hooked around the towel bar in the bathroom. Like, you can push it to the limit of
push
your...
it to the limit.
Exactly. Good song. We'll put an underbed of that. You can push the limit of your own sexual prowess on yourself by trying to kill yourself. And really, I mean, think about it. Like, they always say, they died doing what he loved. And I personally would not die any other way.
Yay! Nay, Zach, you're for nay on sexual asphyxiation. Why not sexual asphyxiation?
David Carradine. Pretty sure Does everyone know? Is no one familiar with this? Okay.
Kung Fu, the Legend
Continues. You have kids, right? David Carradine, did he have kids? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, he had kids.
He choked
first
on
thing,
that.
First thing. Oh, boy.
It's a father.
First thing, you could actually die. And you know what happens when you die in the act of sexual asphyxiation? You're left literally in a closet with a tie around your neck or a rope or whatever it is, with your pants around your ankles and your dick in your hands. You're gonna get found that way. No matter what, if you die, which we have plenty of cases where people have, you're going to get found with... Does anybody want to die that way? I certainly don't want to go out that way. I'd personally rather go out with a woman's mouth around my dick than my hand and being caught in one of the most embarrassing sexual acts known to man. Secondly, how important...
Besides rape.
Secondly, there's... Hey, guys, there's sex. There's masturbation, you know? Sexual asphyxiation is not worth the risks. If you die, for one thing, you're dead, right? Now, is an orgasm worth dying for? Carlos shaking his head, yes. I would say no. There's too much that you have to live for, listener, to waste your life and fucking give the risk of dying for something that you could get with another person. I'd rather personally just watch some internet porn and masturbate into a sock than... then sexually asphyxiate myself. So the argument against is merely this. You could die. Not only could you die, you could get found, and everyone would know, your friends, your parents, your kids if you have them, that you died as a fucking pervert. Is that how you want to go out? Keep living, folks. Just jerk off.
And Yay's allowed a rebuttal?
Yay can rebuttal.
Yay can always rebuttal.
Okay.
Well, yes, as I stated, you can die, which is the whole thrill of the thing. And you're talking about David Carradine, who was Kwai-Jung Kang from Kung Fu, the legend, and he was a great master, Kill Bill. He was in that. Extreme badass, not unlike Chuck Bronson.
Oh,
and what
Chuck
killed him? His own masturbation. How fucking spectacular is that? You could be just like your favorite Kung Fu star, David Carradine, every time you masturbate. Instead of doing it into a sock while you're watching Pornhub, you can tie a fucking belt around your neck, preferably a black belt because it is David Carradine, and you masturbate just like your favorite star. How many times can you do that? You can't fuck the same girl that George Clooney can. No, you can't. You're fucking some other girl that you wouldn't even fucking look at. But you can pleasure yourself the same way David Carradine can. And when you die, you always look fucking weird. You know what happens when you die? You fucking shit yourself, your bowels loosen, and you go into a rigor mortis pose. You look like a fucking asshole anyways. And what happens is, when you masturbate and do the sexual asphyxiation and you die, your relatives will have the dignity to say that you committed suicide. Because it's too embarrassing for them. But you know who it isn't embarrassing for? You. Because you just had the cum of your life.
And I'm allowed a rebuttal?
Let me get a rebuttal.
Now, you are David Carradine. Like, so being that we're talking about David Carradine. And he had a very awesome career. He was fucking Kung Fu Master. He was all those things that you named. But the instant his body was found tied up in a closet with his pants around his ankles and his dick in his hand, all that shit went out the window. Everything that you would be remembered by completely gets forgotten if you get caught in the act of sexual asphyxiation. I will actually name a reference here, which is, are we all familiar with Raul Julia? One of my personal...
Gomez Adams? Who's he?
Dude, fucking Gomez Adams. He was amazing as Gomez Adams. He played in all kinds of other movies.
Oh,
but
and
the
Bison.
I'm getting there. So, you have an amazing career like Raul Julia, and then you go out as M. Bison in the shittiest rendition of Street Fighter that could have possibly been made, and that is your legacy.
No. It's not...
I'm getting my rebuttal. You have your time.
Were you done? You were
kind of
done.
No, I'm not done.
All I'm saying is you can have
the most amazing life ever, but if you go out in sexual asphyxiation, that is now your legacy.
Raul Julia...
Don't do it.
Raul Julia had to live through the embarrassment of being M. Bison. David Carradine went out as Kill Bill, who just happened to be coming.
Yeah.
He never saw the audience. Thank you!
Nope. Wow.
Well, that's yay or nay. I like that segment. We're coming right back. Stay tuned. BODS, we are back, and we're doing another Carlos answer to everything. Zach has some good stuff today. What do you have for Carlos? Stump him, stump him, stump him. He's been winning every time.
Dylan, I'm going to pose this to you. Would you like me to ask him a serious question or just watch this motherfucker two-step?
Ooh, I like a good serious question, but you know what? I have to think. You know what? Yeah, let's do serious today.
Serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, Carlo?
Yes,
Zach. Define for us Hanlon's razor.
Hanlon's razor.
Yes.
Hanlon's razor. Actually, that does sound familiar.
TikTok. Of course it does.
No, no, I'm serious. I believe... Oh, you know what?
TikTok.
It was actually Zach that was talking to me about this one time.
It was.
And it was. Hanlon's razor.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, Schick has like a Mach 5. But the Hanlon razor is actually a slow cold ground steel single blade that you actually sharpen with a strop. It's more of like an old school barber kind of blade, as opposed to the, like, you know, the 7 or I think what's like Mach 12 at this point. Like, how many fucking razors do you need? There's nothing like a good old fashioned shape. So Hanlon's razor.
Real quick, sorry to cut you off there.
Uh-huh.
It is a eponymous law. Just a hint there.
Yeah, no, it's eponymous law that, you know, a cold ground steel razor is better than, like, 4 cheap, you know, aluminum, you know, razors from China.
Actually, wow, I would love to hear your definition of Occam's razor, but, okay, so, do I give the answer now, or...
I think unless you have any more to say,
yeah.
I mean...
Hanlon's razor is an eponymous law that is a corollary of Finagle's law and a play on Occam's razor, normally taking the form of never attribute to malice that which can be adequately explained by stupidity.
Here's the thing, though, listeners. If you actually thought it was a razor, and you should write in and be like, I believed what Carlo said...
Right, no,
They
should do that.
You should write and be like, yeah, I believed it was an actual straight razor, because that sounded pretty fucking convincing.
That was good. Good two-step.
That's a good two-step around a serious question.
Very good, very
then
good.
On now, to the next. The
next question is, before sliced bread, what was the best thing?
Mousetraps.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really?
They killed mice.
Bullshit. Really?
Mice.
Are you being literal?
They spread with a plague. They killed millions of people, and you didn't have that's why they say if you build the world a better mousetrap, the world will be down your door. Mousetrap was the best thing before sliced bread.
You know, age old a question that is. Really?
Yeah.
Mousetraps.
Listeners, your thoughts would be welcome on that answer.
Have you heard the saying, if you build a better mousetrap, the world will be down your door? That's because the best thing before was to kill the vermin of mice that sneak around at night. You can't fucking catch them. So mousetrap was the best invention.
I'm watching the news right now. The bubonic plague was happening on
episode
8.
You know, I expected a little bit of, you know, you really expand on that, but that's acceptable.
There can be short answers to questions. That's acceptable.
Okay.
Listeners, let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, I've actually wondered.
On to the next.
Okay. Now, this is something that I feel like you actually know.
Mm.
This is something that a listener... Her name is Katie. This is written in from Katie from Los Angeles. Yes. Okay.
We have a female listener?
Yes, we do. And her name is Katie.
I know so many Katies.
And listeners, if you would like your question read on Carlos' answer to everything, write it in. Go to BODS, the Boz Entertainment.
/BODS Entertainment.
Facebook. All right. So the question is, why did men start wearing ties? What is the origin?
Well, it was actually the modern suit that we wear today was developed in England. I forget which king it was, but it was in the last couple of centuries. It was actually called the casual suit, because what happened before was during the daytime you would wear your business attire, and at night you wore tails, like black tie, if you were in the upper crust of society.
Tuxedo, yeah.
Tuxedo kind of thing. And he was like kind of a playboy, vagabond. Like kind of
he being
the prince or the king at the time, I forget what his name was.
Okay.
And so he decided that he just wanted to wear the same kind of thing all the time. And to that, you know, instead of wearing the bow tie at night, which is for very, very formal occasions now, he just wore the same suit during the whole day, which was actually had the tie. Those actually started off as like an ascot, like a scarf that actually
keep you warm and keep your neck warm, but it just turned into an affectation after that. Just like the same things with, most guys on the sleeves of their suits, they have buttons. Those used to be workable buttons, so you could actually roll them up a little bit when you were doing work, because that's the only kind of clothes people had back in the day was suits. Look at pictures of people in the 20s. Look at pictures of people in the fucking Depression era. They're working in the fields in suits. Like, when you talk about sportswear, like a sports coat, that's usually something that's in, like, a tweed or something like that, because that's what you wore in the country, especially in the English countryside. They would hunt in tweeds because you can brush dirt off them and all that kind of
thing.
So it's just started off as an affectation of a functional thing, just like all the suits that we have today, but it's just a tie. It used to be like an ascot.
That's right in his wheelhouse, right there.
I knew he was going to know this, but I mean, like, quick follow up question, which is simply like, where did even the bow tie come from? You know,
it's the same kind of thing. It's just it's
like the fashion of the bow, like any form of tie.
It's just peacocking, essentially, is what it is.
Right.
It's we're showing off, you know, the fact that we have. It's like if you're wearing something like that, like the tuxedo was invented in Tuxedo, New York. Like, it was invented by, you know, this tailor who wanted to make this formal attire that wasn't the standard. Like, even the fact that, like, the collars on shirts today, they used to be disconnected. They were paper collars that you would put on, and you would have to, you know, you'd have to get them pressed and steamed out and everything like that.
Yeah,
and
right.
The undershirt was something else. And there was actually, I remember in cartoons where, like,
it would cut off here.
The thing would flip up and the guy got, like, really
flustered.
Little
chest piece.
Exactly.
Right.
That used to be all paper.
She's covering the coat.
So it's just, you know, this thing's getting more comfortable and comfortable and comfortable. And
do you know around what time frame the tie was introduced, I want
to
say?
I'd have to say, thinking back, probably around...
It was after the Renaissance?
Oh, yeah. No, it was definitely in, like, the... late part of the 1800s.
Actually, okay, you know what? I knew you were going to know that. Do we got time for one more?
We got time for one more.
This is just a simple one-answer question.
Oh.
In the movie 48...
Was this from somebody? Or is this just
one of yours?
No, this
is from me.
Okay.
This is from me. In the movie 48 Hours, what was the name of that band that played while Eddie Murphy was dancing with the chick and trying to get laid?
Can you be more specific with a question?
The cover, like, it was considered, they played
what
The Boys Are Back in Town in the movie 48 Hours.
Okay.
So they
Eddie
was,
Murphy.
It was a Thin
okay,
Lizzy
Nick Nolte.
Cover.
They
Murphy.
Were on stage when Eddie Murphy was at the Black Club at the end of the movie.
Right.
And he was calling Nick Nolte.
Right.
So the cover band that was on stage.
What was the name of the cover band?
Yeah.
That's a toughie.
They have no fucking clue.
That's a toughie. Yeah, well...
Did I just...
So,
that's
a definitive answer question,
I think
though.
I just...
That's impossible to dance around.
Yeah,
because
right.
He can't...
You're right, it is.
It's hard, but...
Well, remember in earlier episodes of this, it was like a whole stump the chump thing, and like,
yeah.
Oh, no, you gotta stump him, Zach. You gotta
well,
stump him,
yeah,
and I just...
That's a definitive answer.
Definitive answer.
Way,
it's like black...
Answer
it's a math answer.
The Bus Boys, ladies and gentlemen. And it's actually a really good band.
That's a good band. And guys, please feel free to ask your own questions. Write in your questions for Carlos
feel,
to answer everything.
I don't feel that was a stump.
Feel free to write in your own questions. Ask Carl. Also, we're going to do something called a fan segment. Carl, you want to tell us what that's about?
Basically, we Twitter blasted and put it out on Facebook that we were going to record tonight. And we wanted some of our fans to... You know, give us some topics to talk about. So we have a couple of them that we're going to throw out. The first one we have here is from Vanessa Schoff on Facebook. And her question is not a fucking question. It just says double dipping.
All I'm reading is double dipping.
So
double dipping?
Great question. You know what? There's certain kind of people that can ask those hard-hitting questions. You got your Edward R. Murrow. You got your Barbara Walters, and apparently you got your fucking Vanessa Schoff.
Baba Walters.
And we're not trying to set up anything with you fans to where there is any such thing as a bad question.
But that has to be a question.
There
was not a question mark.
You might want to phrase it in the form of a question.
Double dipping.
Like it's Jeopardy or
something.
Yeah.
What is double dipping, actually?
Yeah.
Alex Trebek knows answers
this,
to all.
Vanessa. What is double
dipping?
Yeah.
All right, so that one was answered. And then we got another one from a Steve Hall, and it just says, grape nuts.
He sounds like a bastard.
So is it just me, or our friends just don't know how to phrase questions here.
Well, he
ask
says,
a question.
He says grape nuts, they are neither grapes nor nuts.
Very Seinfeld-esque.
So he just that's not a question. He's already answered the question. Yeah.
And you know what? We're not trying to get sued by rehashing Seinfeld material.
Yeah,
so thanks a lot, Steve.
So thanks, Steve.
It's okay, though. Thank you for participating.
Yeah, thank you for participating.
Now we're going to go to Twitter here.
Twitter.
And this one is from Edit Transform or at not underscore DPZ. And it says, at Bod's Podcast, how I have not been invited on the show guest. Dicks?
Dicks.
Ellipses,
so,
dicks.
Let me just paraphrase here. He's asking, how have I not been invited on the show?
Yeah, so it's probably because you can't fucking type, and that means you prank.
It's a two-word answer.
Okay,
fuck you.
No. Hey. Wow, that's like pretty much
two words. Fuck and no.
So far, we've been
Let's
not do that.
This is the first semblance of a question. I mean, I can get it because I've worked with, like, mentally handicapped people before.
Wow.
But that was not phrased right.
Let's not insult our fan base.
You know, I'm glad that we entertain you at not DPZ, but I'm sure that shiny things entertain you, too, because you don't sound like the brightest person.
What about BODZ?
At not DPZ,
oh,
real quick, why have you not been on the show? It's because you haven't asked yet. So why not figure out a way to
learn
ask.
Learn how to ask.
And maybe we'll figure that out.
Use
for
your
you.
Big boy voice.
Carlo,
thank
BODZ.
You for your question.
Okay, now we got a BODZ, which is at not underscore BODZ. At Bodscast. How much cooler NY is than LA?
So New York.
So paraphrasing again. Jesus Christ.
That's a good question.
So basically.
That's actually a statement. So he's saying how much cooler New York is than LA. That's not a question.
Well, we obviously have to disagree with you, BODZ.
Yes.
But that's not a question.
So
it's not a question.
Four non-questions.
When people go to the trouble of fucking putting this shit out there and making you guys fucking entertained, and all they ask you is to give them a motherfucking question, type a motherfucking question.
Impromptu rant.
Don't give me a fucking statement. Don't give me, like, how cool is New York than LA? Oh, that's not a fucking question. Hey, fucking not DBZ, that's not a fucking question. Grape nuts, not a question. Double dipping, not a fucking question. Next question. This is from Jake Scott at JSBob15. At Bodscast, just make sure it involves a Carlo rant. Well, there you go.
And there you go, folks. You got your Carlo rant. Now, people, we are English-speaking adults, and obviously we read better when your question is, written in proper English and with proper punctuation.
Oh my God. Jake Scott asked for a fucking rant,
and
but that's not a question! God damn it!
Well, no, you know what? It was posted as this.
No questions.
Hold on. It was posted as post your topics or questions. So, maybe you guys actually gave us some topics. Not so much on the question side. Those of you that I know understand English, just, phrase it in the form of a question, like you're watching Jeopardy. It's very simple. And I hope we covered all of your topics somewhat.
We kind
of
did.
I mean, think for next time, when you Twitter blast out there, let's bring the A game, guys.
Because we love you guys participating. We love your knowledge. We want to try and answer your crazy questions, because that's what we are.
We want your participation, guys. We want you to be part of this with us.
So that's the fan segment.
Yeah,
that's our first
segment.
Fucking fan segment.
Fan
that was pretty
segment.
Abysmal.
I hope it wasn't too insulting.
No, and we are BODS, and we are signing off. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. Take care of yourselves.
Later.
You bastard.